We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
Live from America's finest city, it's the John Contreras Show.
Ho-ho, doctor!
Now, here's the coach, John Contreras, on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, good afternoon, and welcome to 97.3 The Fan. Coach John Contreras with you for the next 3 hours. Looking forward to a big show. Boy, it was a great weekend. There are a few sports that played. We had some NASCAR. We had some boxing. We had some soccer, a little bit of everything over the weekend. I got an opportunity on Friday and Saturday night to watch a little bit of boxing. It was much better on Friday night than it was Saturday night. The matches on Saturday night, really not too much to watch for. One fight I watched was over about a minute and a half into the first round. Referee called the fight a little bit quick, but nonetheless, we got a lot of breaking news. One of the big stories just coming down here in the last half hour, Fallbrook High star Mike Leake, now pitching for the Arizona Diamondbacks, is opted out of the 2020 baseball season, citing the pandemic and safety for his family. So he's the first major league player that has opted out. Mike going to leave about $5 million on the table in his final year of a five-year, $80 million deal. He's got an option, a mutual option, for $18 million next year with the Diamondbacks, but they will decline that, and he'll pick up $5 million. So he's losing $5 million, but he'll also receive $5 million in a buyout. Now you got to wonder how many more players are going to opt out of the 2020 baseball season. Mike Leake, the first one, and that just came down here in the last 30 minutes. Hope everyone had a great weekend. A little rain today kind of surprised me. Not too much, but more than I expected. And now it's starting to break the barrier here on the coast. The morning June gloom starting to subside. Going to get a little warm, a little bit of humid today, but hopefully everyone has a great day, and we're excited. We got 4 days this week. We're going to be off on Friday, July 3rd. We'll get a day off, and then, of course, we'll be back again next Monday. But we got 4 great days. We got 2 great guests today. Coming up at 12:35, Barbara Bree, member of the San Diego City Council for the 1st District. Tomorrow is the second reading with the city council regarding the San Diego State proposal to buy the land there in Mission Valley. They're going to have their final vote tomorrow. And hopefully tomorrow at some point in time, we're going to be able to pop some champagne, and that San Diego State will go into escrow and purchase that land at Mission Valley and be able to build that 35,000-seat stadium and all the things surrounding it, including a great park, retail shops, a 400-person hotel, housing. And they'll have some housing. About 10% of that, I think, is going to be for low income. So we're going to be visiting with Barbara Bree coming up at 12:35. Coming up at 1:35, our good buddy from Baseball America, Kyle Glazer. We're going to take a look at some of the other teams around Major League Baseball and what they did with their 60-man roster yesterday. And, of course, want to get to a lot of phone calls today. Coming off a weekend where there were some sporting events, a lot of stuff on television. And love to hear from you and the excitement of Major League Baseball. I mean, players are going to start reporting on my birthday on Wednesday. I'll turn 62 years of age on Wednesday. I'm fired up about my birthday, but I'm really fired up about these ball players reporting to spring training. They're calling it 2.0. They'll report to all of their home ballparks, Padres. They'll go through all the testing, and they should be on the field by Friday. And then we're still waiting on the Major League schedule. And we had actually hoped to get the Major League schedule, you know, early this week. And they're saying now it may be about another week. But again, they're working on it diligently, trying to put those 60 games together. And hopefully by the time we get off the air on Thursday, I would hope that we would have the schedule. Prior to that, we could kind of talk about where the Padres are starting, when their first home game is. Not that any of us are going to get to go, but I think people are starting to get a little bit excited. And again, you got to be concerned. There is spikes going on around the country right now with COVID-19. And we have to continue to be concerned with that. You know, on Saturday, I took a 5-mile walk. And boy, I'll tell you what, I'm a little sore still from that 5-mile walk. I pushed myself a little bit too hard on Saturday. I hadn't been able to walk. Remember, I had that surgery for skin cancer a little over a week ago. And, you know, I'd kind of, they told me not to exercise a whole lot. Don't get overheated. Don't, you know, do too much. So I went out on Saturday and I did too much. And I was a little bit sore yesterday, a lot better today. And hopefully, you know, either today or tomorrow, I'll get back out there and trudge a few more miles, try to get my body in a little bit better shape. But at the end of the day, I'm excited about baseball. I don't know where this season's going to go. I have no idea how our Padres are going to do. We're going to get into their 60-man roster. They only put 52 on the roster yesterday, and we're going to get into, especially in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to go from top to the bottom of their 52-man roster. And, again, they can add 8 more players. They've left some people off. They left Juan Lagares off. They left Brian Dozier off. That could be a paperwork move because both of those guys, I believe, had outs in their contract. That's not saying that they're not going to be a part of Padre baseball in 2020, but it's more of a paperwork move, a procedural move, and we'll see where that ends up going. There were some prizes yesterday, and I'll get to that, but I also want to get to phone calls today. I love to hear all the excitement of you fans out there, and I got to tell you, last week, we had some incredible phone calls, some really good, solid takes on the world of sports. And I always encourage you to give me a call at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. You can check out our website at 973thefansd. I encourage you to download our radio.com app and favorite 973thefan, our Twitter at 973thefansd. My personal Twitter is Coach Quintero 44, and our Facebook and Instagram is at 97.3 The Fan. I want to remind everyone tomorrow, and we're going to do this each and every week. Normally, it's going to be on Wednesday, but we have a couple guys taking Wednesday off, so we're going to do it tomorrow. We'll have Ben and Woods. We'll have Gwen and Chris. And yours truly, we're going to have another baseball roundtable at 12 o'clock, the first hour of my program, and we're going to delve into the Padres starting rotation. And we know what their rotation is going to be for the most part, but we're going to talk about in depth a little bit more about Paddock. I mean, what can Paddock do this year? He's not going to have an innings restriction. You got Denelson Lamet pitching last year, coming off Tommy John. What do we expect for Denelson Lamet? Garrett Richards pitched in 3 games last year. What do we expect for him this year? Newly acquired right-hander Zach Davies, who came over from Milwaukee. What should we expect out of him? And Joey Lucchesi coming up with a new pitch. What should we expect from Joey in his 3rd year in the big league? So we're going to do that tomorrow at 12 o'clock. It'll be 12 to 1. Then we'll open the phone lines and we'll get into our regular program. But I want you to mark that down. We had a great roundtable last week on Wednesday, and we'll continue to do it again this week. Padres announced their 60-man roster. And like I said, we're going to get into it more in the next segment, and especially in the 2 o'clock hour, we're going to be breaking it down. They on their initial roster of 52, they have 18 pitchers. They've got 8 of them are left-handed pitchers. Of course, Mackenzie Gore making that a roster. Luis Patino, the right-hander, on the roster. They took 5 catchers. Luis Camposano, the youngster that was a fantastic performer a year ago up there in Lake Elsinore. Austin Hedges, who got himself into a little bit of hot water over the weekend, hosting a little get-together and not socially distancing. Team slapped his hand for that. Francisco Mejia, Webster Rivas, and Luis Torrens. They kept 12 infielders, and among their 12 infielders, how about C.J. Abrams, the kid that tore it up last year, their first-round draft pick, tore it up in the Arizona League last year. He's on the roster. Gabriel Arias, another young and up-and-coming ball player. And in the outfield, They kept nine outfielders, one of them, Robert Hassel III, the Padres' first-round draft pick from just a few weeks ago. So we'll talk more of that throughout the course of the program. Probably the biggest news over the weekend came down yesterday afternoon. Cam Newton agreeing to a one-year deal with the New England Patriots. Now think about this. No other team in the NFL even was interested in Cam Newton, yet Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels bring him in on a one-year deal, minimum salary. If he has a good year, he can make as much as $7.5 million. And you have to wonder right now about Cam Newton. How much does he have left? He turned 31 in May. You go back to last year, he played in only two games after suffering a Liz Frank injury to his foot. And then you go back to January 24th of 2019, he underwent right shoulder surgery. But apparently he had a physical in Atlanta at the end of March and passed the physical. Now, he still has to pass the physical with the New England Patriots. But I'm telling you right now, this changes everything the way I see it right now in the AFC. Cam Newton can come back and be anywhere close to the Cam Newton that we saw for many years with the Carolina Panthers. I think not only do they become the favorite over the Buffalo Bills in the AFC East, I think they can be a real player to get back to another Super Bowl. And you look at Cam Newton, I mean, this guy was perfect for Josh McDaniels. Now, think about McDaniels. He was the head coach in Denver when they had Tim Tebow. And we saw all the RPOs, the run-pass options they always talk about, and what he was able to do with Tebow. I would think he's going to be able to do the same with a much more talented quarterback in Cam Newton. I mean, this was a brilliant sign because they're not costing and breaking the bank by bringing in Cam Newton. And you look at who he's going to compete against. 2019's fourth-round pick, Jared Stidham. Played in three games last year behind Tom Brady. He was 2-for-4, 14 yards and a pick. The 11-year veteran, Brian Hoyer. They brought him in as an insurance policy if Stidham couldn't get it done. Now they got Cam Newton, and then they got a couple of other youngsters that they signed as rookie free agents, Jamar Smith and Brian Lewerke, the quarterback out of Michigan State, and Jamar Smith out of Louisiana Tech. This was a brilliant sign, once again, by the New England Patriots. I like this sign. If you're a Patriot fan, you got to be fired up about this sign. But the question you have to ask, and yet to be answered, we're only going to be able to answer it once we see him on the field. Is he still the same Cam Newton, or has he really regressed because of these injuries? Love to get your thoughts on that. That may be the very best sign of the year, even better than Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay. And I would also ask this, what team do you think now is going to have the better season? Is it going to be New England, or is it going to be Tampa Bay and Tom Brady? That's going to be a fun series to watch throughout the course of the year, no question about it. All right, one Laker note. J.R. Smith, the former sharpshooter for the Cleveland Cavaliers, looks like he's finalizing a deal right now with the Los Angeles Lakers, with Avery Bradley opting out for family concerns for his little six-year-old boy who has respiratory issues and has a hard time recovering from respiratory illness. It looks like J.R. Smith now going to be reunited with LeBron James. So a lot to talk about today on the program. I bring in my colleague, Braden Surprenant, right now. And, Braden, we got a short week, but, boy, we got a ton of stories to talk about here on a Monday.
That's right, and so many different ways we can dissect the 60-man roster coming up for the San Diego Padres last night. I'm sure we can dive into a lot of baseball things this week. Short week, we got the roundtable tomorrow, and then off day Friday, and we'll go into a 4th of July weekend. It's going to be fun. And then hopefully we'll have more baseball to talk about next week when everybody's summer camps get going.
Yeah, everybody is supposed to report on July 1st. It's going to take a while to do all the testing, and once the testing comes down and all the tests are given back, then it looks like the boys will be on the field as early as Friday from what I'm hearing right now, and I think that's going to be pretty much the same for all 32 or all 30 teams in Major League Baseball.
That's right. Plus, we have your birthday this week. Happy early birthday to you, Coach.
Well, thank you very much. I think my wife right now is out working on getting me a present, too, so I have no idea what she's doing, but she said she had some errands to run, and that's usually par for the course. Hey, I want to bring up one note, a very sad note, and I saw this yesterday morning when I was sitting down about 9 o'clock to get ready for today's show. Former great offensive line coach and a really good guy. He spent 4 years here in San Diego. Joe Bugel, who spent 32 years in the NFL, primarily as a great offensive line coach. He was with the Washington Redskins for many years. He had that big offensive line with Joe Jacoby and Russ Grimm. They called him the Hogs. He passed away yesterday at the age of 80. And I remember Joe when he came here. And I believe he was living in Coronado at the time. He worked with the Chargers offensive line from 1998 to 2001. A really good guy. Had an opportunity, actually, to be a head coach. Didn't go all that well, though. Record as a head coach in four seasons. Overall was 24-56. He took an awful, and I mean an awful, Arizona Cardinals team. And they went 20-44 in his 4 years there. And then he was the line coach for a short period of time, assistant head coach with the Raiders, and then they made him the head coach. And for 1 year, they went 4-12. But nonetheless, a great football mind, a great football man, and a really, really solid individual. Joe Bugel passes away yesterday at the age of 80. Also, if we have time today, we're going to get into the Lakers schedule, the Clippers schedule. And oh, by the way, speaking of birthdays, I don't want to overlook this. Happy birthday to Aztec for life and current L.A. Clipper, Kawhi Leonard. He turns 29 years of age today. Our phone number, want to get to your phone calls today. Again, we got Barbara Bree coming up at 12:35. We got Coach's Corner coming up a little bit later this hour. Our phone number, 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. We're just getting warmed up on a Monday. We certainly thank you for joining us. We'll come back. We'll get to your phone calls. And also, we're going to get initial reactions to the Padres 60-man roster next, right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Ah, 12:20, Coach John Quintero with you until 3 o'clock. Gwen and Chris will be in. And I want to remind everyone, this hour of the John Quintero Show is brought to you by your San Diego Honda dealers. Your San Diego Honda dealers are celebrating July 4th with zero due at signing, zero down, zero deposit, zero first-month payment. Shop at your nearest dealer or online. Okay, Braden, I want to get into the initial reactions to the Padres 60-man roster. They got 52 on the roster right now. And from what I got, they took 18 right-handed pitchers. And really not a lot of surprises. I mean, people aren't real familiar with Ronald Bolaños, even though we briefly saw him. Jared Eichhoff, a former Philadelphia Philly, who had some good times and some not-so-good times. You know, just kind of browsing through this. Other than that, when you take a look at their right-handed pitchers, not a big surprise, I don't think.
Right, not a big surprise at the list. I don't know what took so long for the Padres to release it. Obviously, making sure everybody gets notified before the media gets notified, obviously. They were one of the last teams, I think, to send their list out publicly. But going through it, I mean, the only thing that really caught my eye was some of the guys that we talked about in terms of probably some paperwork issues in terms of Brian Dozier, Juan Lagares, guys that have opt-outs that can leave to go play on another team. They obviously got to work those out before they add them to the 60-man. Aside from that, a lot of prospects on the list. I think the only thing that was kind of surprising to an extent was you have your first-round draft pick, Robert Hassel, on the list. But again, it makes sense to have as many of your top prospects on there as possible because you want to see these guys not only get work, but get work against a lot of good players in Major League Baseball talent. If you got guys that are going to be impact players or think you're going to be impact players for you in the near future, might as well get them reps this year on the 60-man roster.
Well, I mentioned they took 18 right-handed pitchers. They took 8 left-handers, and among them, Joey Cantillo, the left-hander who really lit it up last year in Fort Wayne and then spent a little time in Lake Elsinore the second half of the year. Jose Castillo, Mackenzie Gore on this list, Joey Lucchese, Adrian Morahone. I'm looking for Morahone. I don't know how much time he'll get at the big league level, but I want to see them get him to take that next step. Drew Pomerantz, Matt Strom, and their former number one pick from a few years ago, Ryan Weathers. I'm kind of anxious to see Weathers. I don't think we're going to see him in the big leagues this year, but hopefully he gets some quality work and next year maybe could compete for a roster spot.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see a lot of these guys. And again, I think the biggest, we'll get to their full breakdown of the minor league players that the Padres have, but their top 13 prospects are on this team right now, and at least the guys that they want the most up there. I did hear a rumor that if Cole Wilcox signs, which they expect him to, he will also be added to this list, which would be very interesting to see. Cole Wilcox, pretty enticing deal there. $3 million potentially to sign and come play ball and have an opportunity to play potentially Major League Baseball at some point, at least put yourself in opportunity to work with a lot of these guys. That's a pretty hard offer to turn down if you're Cole Wilcox.
Yeah, Cole Wilcox, for the fans out there may not remember, he was a Padre third-round pick. He's a first-round talent, and we're going to have Kyle Glazer coming up at 135, and he said that the reason that Wilcox fell in the draft was the signability. They were concerned that he wouldn't sign if he didn't go early in the draft, meaning the first round. And so the Padres took him in the third round, but the Padres, and I complimented Mark Connor and A.J. Preller and their scouting staff, they did a remarkable job of signability, because they signed every one of their draft picks for under the slot money. So they saved enough. They could pay Wilcox as much as 3.3, and that wouldn't jeopardize possibly losing a draft pick for next year. And I expect them to get him done. They may get him done by the end of the week, and that would be great. He could come in, work with the big league guys. I don't think people can understand how important this really is for a guy like Robert Hassel III and some of these younger players, even a C.J. Abrams. He's got, you know, a half a season of pro ball under his belt, and he was fantastic. And, you know, we have big expectations for him here in San Diego. But to be able to work, you know, with guys, even though they're going to be on the so-called taxi squad, they're going to work out at USD most of the time, from what I understand. He's going to be working with guys that have played ball at a high level. And you're going to learn little things by watching these guys take ground balls, swing the bat, base running, that you're not going to necessarily learn in the low minors from, you know, your players. Maybe your coaches will teach you a little bit, but you're going to have to show up, Braden. This is what I love. To get better, you have to play with and against better players. And these guys are going to, they're going to have inter-squad games, they're going to be doing drills, and this is going to push these kids to try to stay up with these older, more mature, maybe more talented ball players.
Yeah, it's a really good opportunity for a lot of these guys, especially in a year that you're not going to get a lot of development in with your players. And again, this roster, you got 60 players, right? But, I mean, last year, Padres used only 50, I mean only 50. They used 54 players to compete the 2019 season, so they can definitely get through a 60-game season without having to use all 60. Opens up a lot of windows for some guys that can potentially get a lot of work in. It's probably why Preller didn't hesitate to invite a lot of guys like Hassel, Hudson Head, Tucapita, Marcano, Ryan Weathers, and Joey Cantillo. None of that group is expected to crack the big league club this season, but they're all highly regarded prospects, and it's a way for a lot of those guys to get work. A couple of things to point out with this, of course, Brian Dozier, Juan Lagares, and Abraham Almonte, a couple guys that were on the bubble to make the roster earlier before everything went down. They're still under contract and can be added to the player pool. I think they got to work out some language in there in order to be put on this roster. We'll see if that happens in the next coming days. It was also on the list, Andres Munoz, Anderson Espinoza, a couple guys that are on the 40-man that will not be on the 60-man roster. Of course, they are mending from Tommy John surgery. Also, Jorge Oña, who still has a little chance of making the big league club this season anyway. He's not on the 40-man, or he's on the 40-man roster, but he's not on the 60-man announced deal. He still could be added, and we'll see if the Padres decide to do that as well. Another big part is Abrams, C.J. Abrams, listed with the middle guys. Coach, you might have found your speedster off the bench, potentially, in a guy like C.J. Abrams if you want to use him early on in the season.
Yeah, you know, I'd have to go back and take a look at his stolen base stats. You know, the one thing I want people to understand, the way this is going to work out once they break camp and start the season, they're going to start with 30 players on the roster for the first 2 weeks. Then it's going to go down to 28 for another 2 weeks. Then at the end of the month, they're going to go down to what it was originally supposed to be, and that's 26. The thing that was interesting, Braden, is initially – when they decided to add that roster spot last year going into the 2020 season, if they were going to go to 26, they said you could only have 13 pitchers. But now, because of what we're dealing with, the pandemic and having a second spring training, a shortened season, and we know these players aren't going to be in the shape they normally would be, let alone the pitchers, not logging a lot of innings, And they're thinking that some of these starting pitchers the first few times out, remember, they may only make 12 or 13 starts on the entire year. They're saying they may go three, maybe four innings. So you're going to have to use that bullpen. Major League Baseball over the weekend said that right now you can have as many pitchers on the roster as you want. So, you know, I'm wondering right now, well, especially with the designated hitter, you don't need to have a bunch of bench guys. You got to have your backup catcher. You got to have a backup infielder that can play all the spots. You got to have at least a fourth infielder. I mean, you may have 16 or 17 pitchers on some of these rosters.
I'm loading up on pitching, absolutely, for sure, because the other thing is, too, it's like I think Ello brought this up during the roundtable, but you can even – I mean, you're not going to go with a traditional five-man starting rotation. If they're only going three innings, why don't you have a situation where you got two starters per game? I mean, you could basically have Chris Paddock roll into Denelson Lamet or whatever you want to do on that particular day, and instead of having a bunch of bullpen guys, if you got a bunch of starters that have to go multiple innings anyway, you're not going to tax your bullpen that way. Maybe you have a couple guys that are just levers that are getting work as starters just go in the next three innings. You have Paddock go three, then you have Garrett Richards go three or four, and then all of a sudden you get into your bullpen. You don't have to tax your bullpen guys too much. I mean, there's a lot of strategy involved here and a lot of things you can do.
It's going to be very interesting, especially for a young rookie manager like Jace Tingler. It's not like he's opening up and got 162 games and, you know, the first week or two you can kind of glide into it. Boy, that first game, you got to come out of the blocks. You got to be able to know how to handle that pitching staff and not knowing exactly where your pitchers are at physically. I mean, the best way to tell how a pitcher's throwing, normally the opposing hitters tell you how he's throwing, but Jace Tingler, this is where a veteran coach, whether it had been Darren Balsley, who's no longer the Major League pitching coach, or the guy they brought in, Larry Rocha, this is where a veteran pitching coach can really earn his keep, especially in this shortened season, being able to know his staff, know what guys can get done, and how deep they can maybe take him, especially in the first couple of starts. Going to be very interesting. And again, the Padres, they had five catchers, 12 infielders, and nine outfielders. So we'll get into that a little bit more. When we come back, we're going to be joined by a city council lady, Barbara Bree. She covers the first district, and we're going to talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow should be the final meeting for the city and San Diego State to get this deal done with the Mission Valley site. We'll tell you all you need to know about that when we return to the John Quintero Show right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. How do you listen to 97.3 The Fan? We've got a contest to enter. Submit a video showing us how you listen to 97.3 The Fan, either on radio.com app, your Alexa, the web stream, or your homepage, 97.3TheFanSD.com, or your FM radio. You could win a $100 gift card from Panera Bread. For details on how to submit your video, go to 97.3TheFanSD.com/video contest. Thanks for listening to San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Well, looking forward to having this young lady on today. She's been a very nice contributor to our program here in the not-too-recent past. She's running for mayor in November, and we wish her the very, very best in that. And she's been very dynamic working with the San Diego City Council and representing the 1st District. Barbara Breed joins us on our SDCCU Fan Hotline. Barbara, welcome, and how are you today?
It's a good day in San Diego, Coach. Tomorrow the City Council will have its second and final vote on the purchase and sale agreement of the Mission Valley land to San Diego State.
I'm very excited about that. And, Barbara, I want you to take us back here a couple of votes ago. The first time you guys voted to move forward, it was 9-0, I believe. The last one here a few weeks back, it was 8-1. The only negative vote was Scott Sherman, which kind of interesting. Scott Sherman actually represents the district that is Mission Valley. And why did he vote against it?
Well, you know, I listened to his public comments very carefully. He was concerned about the taxes that would be paid on the development going forward, and it's actually not an issue that the city gets to decide on. As SDSU builds on the land, the county of San Diego makes the decision about what types of taxes are due. So it's not even a city decision. It's nothing we could even put in a purchase and sale agreement. So I was actually very confused by his comments.
We're visiting with Barbara Bree, a member of the San Diego City Council, again, that represents the 1st District. Take us through what is going to go on tomorrow, and what time is that meeting tomorrow?
So the council meeting that will be started at 11 a.m., I expect it's going to be a non-event. It was an 8-1 vote when we voted 2 weeks ago. Under our rules, we have to vote twice on every ordinance. It was a meeting that lasted less than an hour. Tomorrow it's on consent, and I think it should be hopefully a non-event, and then the exciting times are what's next. Under, again, the rules of the city, the mayor can't sign the purchase and sale agreement for 30 days. Then the city opened escrow with San Diego State, and the goal is that the transaction will close in early August, and the city will receive $88 million, and soon thereafter, San Diego State will start construction on a beautiful new stadium.
Barbara, tomorrow when that meeting gets underway at 11 o'clock, I'm sure there'll be a little bit of discussion, or will they go right to the vote?
Well, we usually take the consent items all at once unless someone pulls it off of consent. So usually it just goes fairly easily. And given it was an 8-1 vote 2 weeks ago, it should be fairly standard tomorrow. But your listeners, of course, should feel free to contact their council members and let them know how important this transaction is to the future of our city. The stadium is only part one. Next will come a beautiful river park that we'll all get to enjoy. Then, you know, education facilities, affordable housing, research classrooms, you know, all the things that are going to allow a great university to expand.
Hey, Barbara, when San Diego State has come in and they've, you know, given their proposal and, you know, for the money, how much they're willing to pay and everything that's going to be taken care of, what's the time frame? Have they talked to you guys about the time frame when everything would be fully completed?
It's a 5 to 15 year project. I mean, it's mammoth what they're going to be doing. The timeline is that the stadium comes first. It's going to be built on a different piece of land than the current stadium, so their goal is to have the stadium done for the 2022 football season. Then they will tear down the old stadium, and then next they will build the river park. And beyond that, they haven't said exactly in what order they will do things.
We're visiting with Barbara Bree from the San Diego City Council. The final vote tomorrow with the City Council to approve the sale to San Diego State. Let me ask you this, because I know you're a sports-oriented lady, a sports-oriented family. I want to ask you a little bit about the Midway District. I'm sure you've been following what's going on down there at our old San Diego sports arena. I mean, do you have a vision, if you became mayor, do you have a vision of what that area would become?
Well, that's probably going to be taken care of before I get to city council, or could be before I become the mayor, sorry. The mayor has issued a request for proposal for the sports arena site. Four developers, I do not know their names, have responded, and so that process is moving forward now. I'm looking forward to seeing what the developers have in mind for the site.
You know, I don't know if you had a chance. It was in the paper over the weekend. I know it had been online earlier in the week. And we had Tom Krasovic from the Union Tribune on it. And he wrote an article talking about, considering we're in this pandemic right now, if we would have gone into business with the Chargers, we'd be sitting in no man's land right now. We'd really be in a tremendous financial hardship if we'd have moved forward, considering we're sitting right now in this pandemic, a national tragedy.
Yeah, I think one thing that's fortunate is SDSU West is going to be developed without taxpayer money. The city will have no liability. The California State University system has already approved selling up to $650 million worth of bonds to pay for the stadium, to pay for the river park, and to pay for other infrastructure on the site. This is a great deal for San Diegans, and it's going to create a lot of good jobs and educate a lot of our young people.
You know, Barbara, considering everything that's gone on, you know, with football here, you know, losing the team to Los Angeles and, you know, the dragging of the feet by some people trying to get this vote, you know, going forward. We had the vote, you know, with Soccer City and now San Diego State. boy, when this vote is taken tomorrow and it goes in the direction that we all hope, this is really going to be uplifting, I think, for not only the sports fans in San Diego, but people that, you know, like to go retail shopping or maybe go down to San Diego that live in other parts of the county and want to spend a weekend. I mean, I'm really excited about a 400-room hotel. I mean, on game day, people can come down on Friday and Saturday, go to the game, spend the night, and have a great time down there. It's really going to be cool.
Yeah, and they can have a picnic at the River Park. It's going to be a really fun place to go to a game, and there'll be all sorts of other events there during the rest of the year. The stadium is not going to sit empty. It'll be used for concerts and other kinds of events all year round. And this is one of the biggest transactions to take place in our region in decades, and I'm very honored that I was the first elected official to support it. And to oppose a competing ballot measure that was called Soccer City. I supported SDSU West because I realized it would be, it would have such great potential for our city.
Hey, before I let you get out of here, you got this mayoral race coming up. I mean, how are you budgeting your time right now? I mean, you've done an incredible job on the city council, but how are you budgeting your time to get out, shake hands, and let people know where you stand on a lot of these issues? Because let's face it, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, there have been more and more issues that you've had to speak on.
So I am working very hard as I've ever worked at the city council because of coronavirus. I'm shaking hands online on Zoom. I'm not shaking them in person these days. And I believe the voters hopefully will appreciate my background, that I spent 30 years as a small businesswoman in the tech sector before getting to city council, that I've signed the front of the paycheck, that I know that we can't do things the way we've always done them, that it's time for San Diego to do things in a way that respects our neighborhoods, but it is different. So, for example, more people are going to work remotely, and that's a good thing. That's going to help us meet our climate action plan goals. We're going to have the opportunity to reuse office buildings and shopping centers as housing, which is cheaper than building new units. So I'm trying to imagine how we can make San Diego, keep the parts of San Diego that we love, which is our neighborhoods, and be creative about how we're going to go forward.
Hey, Barbara, thank you so much. And you know you're always welcome on my show anytime. And good luck with that vote tomorrow, and we'll look forward to doing this again down the road.
Great. Thank you. Have a great day, Coach.
All right. Great stuff once again from Barbara Bree, a member of the San Diego City Council for the 1st District. They're going to vote tomorrow. And, boy, by the time I get on the air, that vote's probably going to be in, and we're going to be singing the praises of the city council and get that deal done, and let's get that shovel in the ground. Now, she said that after the vote, you have to wait 30 days before the mayor can sign off on it. Then it goes into escrow, and then hopefully in August, J.D. Wicker and the powers that be out there at San Diego State will get a shovel into the ground, and we can get rolling. Hey, we're looking for September 3rd, a Saturday, to open it up, Aztecs taking on the Arizona Wildcats, and I'm hoping that becomes the case. That will be really cool. But thanks again to Barbara Bree, and we certainly wish her all the best in running for the mayor of San Diego. And reminder, all guests on the John Quintero Show come via the SDCCU fan hotline, SDCCU online and mobile banking. Let you do your banking from your smartphone. Messages and data rates may apply. Details, you can visit SDCCU.com. Good stuff from Barbara Bree. And right now, let's get to today's Coach's Corner.
Coach Cantera breaks down the biggest stories in the world of sports right now.
That was the adult in the gym.
In the Coach's Corner on 97.3, The Fan. Number one.
All right, Coach, let's get into everything you need to know in the sports world, starting with some guys that are opting out of the Major League Baseball season for 2020. Arizona Diamondbacks right-hander Mike Leake is opting out of the 2020 season, his agent said in a statement on Monday, becoming the first known MLB player to opt out. Since he opted out, Washington Nationals lose two players. Ryan Zimmerman will opt out. He says he will not retire, though, as well as Joe Ross, who was supposed to be the fifth starter for the Washington Nationals. He is also opting out all three of them for health and safety reasons, not only for them, but also for their family. Coach, you see this to be a trend for a decent amount of major leaguers?
Well, it very well could be. I mean, Mike Leake was the first, a little over an hour ago. Now we've got two more coming from the team that won the world title. I would imagine there are going to be a few more. And I saw Minnesota, there a couple of their coaches have been told they're not going to be part of the staff this year. One is 68, one is 66. And, that's a tough go, but apparently the organization made that call.
Number two.
That is a tough go, especially since the organization's telling them whether or not they can coach or not. Moving on to football, and anybody that was hoping Johnny Manziel would play football again, I'm sorry to break it to you. It's a point in his life where he is probably saying it's in the past. The former Cleveland quarterback made the declaration in an interview with the Lubbock and Avalanche Journal for a story that was published Saturday. In the past, probably, is what the way I'd characterize my playing career, Manziel told the newspaper when asked about his football career. I finally got the point where I'm trying to achieve happiness in life, not happiness on the football field. I know a lot of people probably want me to come back and play and give another shot, but I don't know. As far as being a person and figuring out life as a young adult, trying to make it and figure it out, if I've ever been in a better place than I am right now, I can honestly say I'm happy and I'm doing the right things to try to put a smile on my face every day, and that means more to me than going out and grinding on a football field. So Johnny Manziel basically calling it a career when it comes to football.
Well, first of all, the Lubbock Avalanche Journal, a very good paper. I used to get it when I was coaching there at Texas Tech. Boy, they had a lot of good sports pages in that paper. But as far as Johnny Manziel, I'm not sure anybody really wants to see Johnny Manziel play again. And I think more than anything else, Johnny Manziel just needs to get himself right and try to live the best life he possibly can. Be happy, be addiction-free, and move on, because it just wasn't working.
Number three.
Toronto Raptors guard Fred VanVleet said it was difficult for him to decide whether it was worth to take part in the NBA's decision to restart its season amid both ongoing coronavirus pandemic and the protests for social justice taking place across the country. Ultimately, though, he decided that he would play. "It sucks," VanVleet said in a conference call Monday, "of having to make it such a choice. It's terrible timing, but that's been 2020 for us. We all know the right thing to do is to not play. To take a stand morally, yes, that makes sense, but life goes on. We're all young black guys. None of us want to give any money back. I don't think that's what we should do. I think that the money can be used in a number of different ways. This is not going to end this summer regardless or over the next couple months. This issue, racial injustice, social injustice, police brutality, all the things are not ending anytime soon. Our fight was long-term. That was part of my decision." VanVleet says the terrible timing for the NBA restart. What do you say?
I wouldn't have surprised me. They would have waved it off, but too much money to be had, and they're going that direction. And Fred VanVleet, a heck of a player, did a great job last year when Toronto ended up winning the NBA title. But, he got to make his own decision, and I respect him for that.
Number four.
Former Iowa running back Akram Wadley on Monday detailed several allegations of mistreatment by current and former Hawkeyes coaches, writing that playing for Iowa football was a living nightmare. Wadley, who played for Iowa from 2014 to 2017, mentioned head coach Kurt Ferentz, offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz, and former strength and conditioning coach Chris Doyle in the allegations published on Facebook by Robert T. Green, whose sports advisory firm is working with several former Iowa players to voice their experiences with the program. Iowa has hired Hush Blackwell Law Firm to conduct a review of the program after a large group of black former players spoke out about alleged mistreatment earlier this month. On June 14th, Iowa reached a separation agreement with Doyle, who led the football strength conditioning program through Kurt Ferentz's 21-year tenure. "Playing for Iowa football is a living nightmare, Coach. Do you think Kurt Ferentz can survive this?"
I don't know. I'm surprised Kurt Ferentz is still there. Number one, he's had multiple offers over the years to leave, but he's also had some down years, but they've stuck with him. And I find this very interesting, Braden, and I realize, where we're at now, from, 5, 10, 15 years ago, a lot different. But, man, he'd been there 21 years, and all of a sudden, in the last 3 weeks, all these things are coming out. Kind of interesting to me.
Number five.
Last one for the day, John Morant apologized on Twitter for reposting an image on social media with a profanity directed at police officers on the back of his jersey, writing that it didn't clearly and accurately convey what I wanted to share. On Sunday, the Memphis Grizzlies rookie point guard reposted an image that had the F word and the number 12 displayed on the back of his jersey. Morant's jersey number is 12, but F12 is an anti-police slang term. Morant wrote, want that on my jersey, FR on this tweet, and also shared an image on his Instagram story with a similar message. He later deleted the post and apologized via a statement on his Twitter account. I want to first apologize for reposting something that didn't clearly and accurately convey what I wanted to share, he wrote. My post was intended to focus on bad cops who get away with murder of unarmed black men and women and those who continue to harass peaceful Black Lives Matter protesters. I know there are good cops, 12 out there. I know some and a few are family. I am thankful to the cops at Murray State who took care of me and the cops who continue to watch over me with the Grizzlies. We need good cops to step up and make sure other cops are not abusing their power.
Well, the young man made a mistake, and I think a lot of people make a mistake on Twitter because they get so emotional and they write so quickly and they don't go back and read what they wrote. And, you know, John Morant, we're going to give him a mulligan on this one. We'll see where it goes. He did come back, apologize, had some really nice things to say about police officers. But I think we, right now, everybody is so emotional. And they want to get to the key bar and bang things out. Reread it before you send it. I mean, there's an old saying, hey, write an email when you're angry. You know, wait 10, 15 minutes before you send it because a lot of times you may end up erasing it.
This one is over.
That was the Coach's Corner.
Yes, indeed.
97.3, The Fan.
All right, good stuff there, Braden. Again, Barbara Bree, we're going to hopefully have that vote, Braden, before you and I get on the air tomorrow at 12 o'clock. And I would certainly think Aztec fans have to be pretty excited about tomorrow.
Absolutely. It's a long time coming, not only for Aztec fans, but just for anybody that wanted something nice in the Mission Valley area in general.
Well, that was a very, very quick first hour of the program. If you'd like to get in and give us a call today, love to hear from you at 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. When we come back to kick off hour number two, Cam Newton is now a member of the New England Patriots. Does that make the Patriots return be the favorite to win the AFC East? We'll talk about that next on the John Contreras Show on 97.3 The Fan.
Thanks for downloading the John Contreras Show on demand. And remember, you can always listen to my show as well as on-demand audio from Ben and Woods, Gwen and Chris, and other Intercom San Diego stations using the Radio.com app. Remember to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.